Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Former police superintendent Eddie Johnson. Eddie, thanks for calling into the show today. How's retirement treating you? How you doing?
Hey, Anna, it's a pleasure to join you as always. Retirement is great. You know, the weather's breaking, so, hey, I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer.
I know, we all are, and especially since things are opening up so much. There are a lot of ways to enjoy yourself now that you couldn't do last year. Do you ever wake up and say to yourself, though, gosh, I wish I had the chance to be police chief during the pandemic? Wouldn't that have been great? Do you ever say that to yourself?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I will say this, though. I think I could have helped, but no, I don't wish to have been the superintendent while the pandemic was going on. No.
I can only imagine. I mean, that doesn't say that you wouldn't have been an incredible leader during challenging times, and you've seen enough of those, maybe not quite like this, but certainly we've had our challenges during your tenure. You know, I want to ask you about so many things about police, and you know, I always appreciate getting your perspective. You've seen that state legislature has passed in a bipartisan effort this new bill that would be the first of its kind. Illinois would become the very first state to bar the police from using deceptive tactics or lying. I don't know, whatever way you want to talk about it, when interrogating. This is only dealing with young people, though. And I want to get your thoughts, your perspective.
Well, I'll tell you this, Anna. You know, I spent 31 years on CPD and 7 of those years in the detective division, and I'm convinced Chicago has some of the best detectives in the country. You know, we were always able to lie to people. We just couldn't lie about who we represented. In other words, we couldn't go into an interrogation room and pretend like you were a lawyer or something like that. You had to tell them who you were. But I have to be honest and tell you, I've never really seen officers use that tactic, although it was always there to be able to use. Now, I will say this. We do have an obligation and responsibility to bring the bad guy to justice. But we also have a responsibility not to coerce false confessions from people. And, you know, the younger people, let's face it, their brains aren't developed fully at that point. So I get where they're coming from. I spoke to a few chiefs of police around the, you know, Chicago area who were involved in a collaboration with legislators regarding this trailer bill. And, you know, I get where they're coming from, you know. So it's a tenuous situation because I do believe that police ought to be able to solve these crimes in a constitutional way. But I got to tell you, I don't like when we do get false confessions from people, especially younger people who just don't know any better. And you can do that if you say certain things to them because they just aren't as worldly as adults are. So, I mean, we have to have police reform, and it has to start somewhere. And it's going to be a painful process, but I think that this particular legislation, we in order to get people of color to start trusting police more, you know, we have to start somewhere, and it's painful. And I will say this again, you know, the cops in Chicago, I'm not saying they never used that tactic. I never saw them use it, but I think that they're skilled enough. And usually with evidence, you know, you go back to like the Jesse Smollett investigation. That was really an incredible piece of police work. And at no time did anybody use or have to use deception, just did good old fashioned police work, gathered the evidence and presented it. And I think that, you know, for the most part, law enforcement will be fine. They'll learn how to, if they were using that particular tactic, they'll learn how to just be better police and gather more evidence.
What would be a textbook way to use it that you think is effective and also fair?
Okay, I'll give you an example of what I think is an example of it and is fair. So, you know, you'll get to, let's say, a shooting, and there'll be people out there on the street that witnessed the shooting, but they don't want to get involved in the court system necessarily, right? So they may say to you at that point, "Officer, I saw Eddie Johnson out there. He pulled a gun. I saw him shoot this guy. He didn't kill them, but I did see him shoot them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to court. I'm not going to go to court. Okay, so the detective gets that information. He goes in there to the bad guy and says, hey, I have a witness that saw you shoot that guy. Now, you're not going to tell them that the person told you they're not going to go to court, but you are telling them that you have a witness that saw that. Now, is that deceptive? You know, I don't think it is. You know, I think that's a fair way to use something like that, you know, because you may be able to convince that person down the line to actually go to court. So we get a lot of situations like that. So that in that regard, I think that's a fair way to use it.
I think it sounds fair to me, too. I just wonder, would that go away with this new legislation? I mean, I'm sure you haven't read the whole thing yet, but I just wonder, is that kind of thing, do you think, still going to be allowed?
No, I think that type of thing would be allowed because you're not lying about the fact that a person did tell you they saw them. You're just not telling the person that they also told me they're not going to court. And I don't think you should have to. You know, if a witness tells you they observe that, then at some point you should be able to use that in the interrogation process. Now, of course, if that person doesn't want to go to court, then you're kind of, you know, that boat is sunk when it goes to trial, if it goes that far. And hopefully, you know, like I said, I talked to some chiefs around the Chicago mm-hmm. area, and they were pretty confident that things like that wouldn't be affected.
Okay. It's the where does it move into the area where it is affected, where now the police would not be able to do it, assuming this passes, and I think it will.
Yeah. Okay. So an example of when it might hurt you. Like, for instance, if you say, if you get enough people saying Eddie Johnson was in that area right in that vicinity, and let's say you recover a weapon from that particular shooting, and you say to Eddie Johnson, well, look, we found your fingerprints on the gun when in fact you have not, that will probably be taken away from you. You know, I mean, you know, because let's face it, some bad guys will use a weapon and some of them will, you know, wipe their prints off of that weapon. So when you go in there and say, you know, you might have all these people that told you they saw this guy do it, but he wiped his prints from that weapon. Now you go in there and say, we got your prints off the weapon, and him knowing he actually did it, but he doesn't want to tell you. I think in that instance, you won't be able to say that to that bad guy anymore if they're 18 or younger. You know, so in that way, it will affect the way that the investigation goes. So now you have to figure out another way to get them.
Yeah, and what are the other ways? I mean, how do you, as someone who's been a detective, I guess the better way to ask that question is when you talk with detectives, and I'm sure you have, they say this is a powerful tool that we use. Okay, maybe it isn't fair to use it on juveniles. Maybe you're right. Their brains are not developed. They are not able to be put in that position. But, you know, why take this away from us if this is going to help us get bad guys to turn on each other, get bad guys to go to jail over crimes they actually do commit? We just need to sort of push them, urge them to collect more evidence that can stand up in court.
Right. And it can be an effective technique as long as it's used properly and not to, you know, garner false confessions. So I tell you, Anna, it's a conundrum. It really mm-hmm. is, because and let's face it, we have to recognize that law enforcement right now is really under the microscope. So all the things that have been done in the past are going to be highly scrutinized now, you know, and it's unfortunate. But the reality of it is we do need, you know, some police reform, and we do need to tear some things down and start from the bottom and rebuild them so that we can have the trust of the community, as well as give the officers all the tools that they need to be able to solve some of these crimes. Because let's face it, hardened bad guys, hardcore criminals, and some of them are under 18, unfortunately, they're not going to tell you. So it does make it more difficult. It really does make it more difficult. And the officers are just going to have to keep pressing out there until they find people that actually witnessed it or find the evidence that they need to bring this person to justice. So I'm not going to pretend like it's not going to make things a little bit more difficult, but I think these cops are going to have to just, you know, they're just going to have to beat the streets harder and do what they can to you know, garner the evidence that's needed to convict these guys.
Yeah, Eddie, they can't. You can't. I mean, you can't lie about their rights or any their right to remain silent or anything like that. Or like you said, posing right. as somebody else. Those kinds of things are totally right. off limits. It's more about evidence collected. Is that what you would say when it's most commonly used?
Yeah, it would be more than likely evidence collected, because let's face it, if you go in there to an interrogation room and you say to this suspect that so-and-so saw you do this, and that guy knows, because let's face it, the one person that knows what they did is the person you're talking to. They know if they mm-hmm. did it or not,
right.
you know, but sometimes, you know, if you go in there and you perpetrate things that they know, that they actually know, there's no possible way you could know that, then you're going to lose that person. You're going to lose the ability to keep interrogating them to the point where they finally tell you the truth, because they know right away you're lying. So it that thing works both ways. You know, you have to be really careful with that. And like I said, it's a tool that is, you know, it looks like it's going to be taken away, you know, for cops that were using it. And I'm sure it's been used and being used, you know, but let's face it, you know, policing is scrutinized now. So they're going to have to figure out better ways to collect that evidence and get people in the community to trust the police enough to where they will actually tell the police what occurred. Because a lot of times people in the community, they might be afraid, but they'll steer the police in the right direction. And like I said, we got some good detectives in Chicago, and they are good at tracking down leads and, you know, getting what the information that they need. Now, all that's going to be for naught if you can't get that person to come into court and testify, you know, unless you have the video of that stuff.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is where it all comes down to keep bad guys off the streets. You've got to build a case against them. They've got to go to court
yep.
and face charges. Do you have a few more minutes? Can I pause for a second, circle back on some of that, what you see happening right now, your view
sure.
of justice, and then also just kind of crime-fighting strategies? We've seen an awful, a lot of different strategies employed over this past year, and then moving forward, we've got some new ones, too. So we'll circle back with former superintendent Eddie Johnson just a minute here on WGN. Lots going around. Just a lot of questions about things going on in the policing world. I know they tried some new strategies over the past year that drew some criticism. I want to get to that. But first, let me just ask you sort of a general thing. Because there's this perception that people who are committing violent crimes are just not facing the consequences they once were. Or it's just more lax of a system now, and that some of the reforms have changed that so that it makes it easier to not have to serve any crimes. Any penalties. Do you think that's generally true? What's your perception of that?
Well, from what I'm seeing, Anna, and from talking to cops on the street, it does appear that the bad guy is getting a lot of protections and just giving lifelines. And my issue with that is, well, what about the victims of these crimes? You know, who's speaking up for the victims? But again, you know, we've gotten into this predicament from some bad policing, you know, and so now we have to be careful not to go too far the other way, because a bad guy should have to pay the consequences, you know, whether it's restorative justice or penalized, whatever you want to call it, depending on the level of the crime, of course. But I think that our system is leaning too far in the favor of the bad guy. And I don't like that, because I told you before, when I would go into black and brown neighborhoods, which were the most vulnerable to these crimes, none of them ever said to me they didn't want more police there, or they didn't want the police doing it. All they wanted the police to do was arrest the bad guy and treat them with dignity and respect, you know, in those communities. And if you do that, then they're with you, you know. So I don't like violent offenders not having to be held, you know, until the process is over, you know. Now, I do think a bail system is fine if a judge sets a particular bail and they meet it, then that's That is what it is. But to not hold them accountable is just not right, you know. And the people a lot of times making these decisions aren't people that live in these neighborhoods. And trust me when I tell you, if you go in those neighborhoods, those people will say they want more police and they want the police, but they want the police to treat them fairly and respectfully.
That's interesting. We're out of time. Let me ask you this, though, finally. Would you take another chief or superintendent job? Would you do that at this point in your life? I mean, you know, pandemic aside, like we're getting out of that now. Right. Would you do that, Eddie?
You know what? And I tell you this. I'll never say never because, you know, I live my adult life in public service, and I do still think I have some things to offer. And I don't like that nobody's really standing up for the rank and file police officers because they're just doing the job. It's not their fault that somebody's running down an alley with a gun in their hand. That's not their fault, you know, and we're asking them to do a difficult job and then micromanaging the way that they do it. So the answer to that question is there's a possibility. There is.
Yeah, well, I think there are a lot of people who might like to see that. So we'll see what happens. You keep us posted on things, Eddie. In the meantime, enjoy your life.
I will. Thanks, Anna.